can't move on, baby doll. Waiting on calls, flipping through stations. I'm outclassed and it's outrageous. I'll take it all, baby doll. Whatever's been.
Welcome back to Running Back. Thank you for being here. Big news up top. Want to announce a new sponsor. We're happy to announce we're sponsored by season two of the hit HBO show starring Abel Tesfaye, The Idol. Big shout out to HBO for believing in the vision. So check out The Idol. Yo, how bad does the show have to be to just not even air the final episode?
I only saw clips.
I don't think that happened.
And it was like,
did that actually happen?
I think. Well, it got ordered for 6 and it stopped at 5. So,
ooh,
yeah, yeah, tough. But yeah, salute to HBO and shout out to Abel. Hate to see that, man. I'm just like, are weekend fans just gonna act like that didn't happen? Like, I'm cool with doing that if as a whole.
I'm gonna double down that it's gonna that it was. I've seen some weekend fans like love it.
Oh man. But yeah, thanks for being here, guys. Same crew as always. Youngest, what's up, man? How you doing?
All I want to say is my right hand of God, I never heard a Saturday Lee podcast. And said, that's a Saturday Lee podcast. But I know he is a sissified looking fella with that fingernail polish on his motherfucking nails and wearing dresses. How are you going to talk about something?
Oh, man.
Good he to never hear been from sad you before always. To call himself Saturday Lee.
Do you think Boosie knows about
to be sad?
Does Boosie know about this by now, I assume?
About this?
Yeah, absolutely. About yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for the next Vlad interview. Young is in the building. Producer Duck is in the building. Duck, what's up, bro?
What's up? I saw the other day, I made the mistake of watching First Take, and they were using DJ Vlad interview with Dennis Rodman as a talking point for a debate on who was more skilled, Jokic or Larry Bird. And I turned the TV off.
That's nasty.
It was disgusting.
But yeah, man, we're back in here. We're doing something. We actually have not really done this before. We're doing a little gauntlet. We're running through couple of records that have come out in the past couple weeks. Talking Young Thug, talking Lil Gunna, talking a bit of Lil Uzi Vert. All those three gentlemen, those three people have dropped past couple weeks. We're going to talk about the records, how we feel about them, and stuff like that. Very glad that Duck is here for the Uzi portion. He's our Lil Uzi Playboy Cardi correspondent, so I'm glad that he's here.
I also like to point out that I was the first person in the server to say June 30th.
It's true. I remember.
I had a guy.
Where should we start? Do we want to start like chronologically?
Yeah, who's the first one to drop? Gunna was, right?
Gunna, yeah.
Yeah, so well, Gunna. Like a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
Gunna's had a complicated, what has it been? Year?
Yeah. Year and change. Yeah.
Yeah, year and change. Blew up with his last album in January 2022. Hit all time highs with Drip Season Forever, you know, really making a push. And then, yeah, Earth kind of came shattering down, got locked up. Worked on a plea deal, got out. Got labeled a snitch and a rat. Complicated situation with Young Thug that I guess none of us will ever really know about until the Thug stuff is actually over.
Yeah. Also, Running Back the Hits is not gang affiliated and is not part of YSL in any shape, form, or fashion. Just want to put that out there as well. You never know.
Yeah. At least two of the three members are.
Yeah.
I think you get some of the one that might be.
Yeah.
But yeah. And like his world kind of comes crashing down and he releases a really personal album, I want to say, and one that's kind of bitter and mean and like really introspective. And he kind of like no features on it, which is very unusual for Gunna. And outside of a few songs, like, kind of sad. Like, it doesn't, it's not as upbeat as normal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not insanely sad, but it's almost like, you know, when Jay-Z makes Song Cry, or like when, like, that's like a personal song for the coolest guy. Like, it's a similar thing here. Like, we know Gunna for being super cool, and like, something that I noticed is that there's, like, before this, Gunna still had like this laid back, chill, not monotone, but like, that was his style, and it showed like how much he didn't care, and that was how cool he was. And on this, it's like, it's the same thing, but it's sad. Like, you see, like, yeah, it's really sad, and like you can tell this is a guy who's just like alone in a corner, and like a lot of the, he's just in a very different spot than he was before.
There's not a whole lot of bragging on here, which is something that's extremely unusual for someone like Gunna and like the type of music he makes, and it's not really relationship based. I kind of used the word bitter earlier. I don't know if like he's mad at everyone, but he just clearly seems like he's been going through some stuff. Like, he's been thinking about it. This isn't something like he got over and he's just like, oh yeah, I'm back out to making music. Like, he had something to say. I guess my first question to you is, do you think it worked?
I think the reception of the album was pretty positive. For me personally, I actually wasn't a huge fan at first. A lot of it wasn't grabbing me. But with some time, I liked it a little bit more. And I would say ultimately it worked. I think a lot of people... enough people liked it. It was pretty successful. I think he'll be fine next time around. I'm interested to see what happens with like features in the future. Like, are people gonna work with him? Especially in that Atlanta scene, like Thug, you know, I don't want to keep, like, it's intertwined, so you have to keep bringing it up. But like, Thug was such a like godfather type person in Atlanta. Like, if you wanted to be successful in Atlanta rap, like it went through Thug to some extent. So I'm again, like, who will work?
My big thing is mostly like an internet thing, right? Like, we don't know the details. We don't know what information he gave up or anything, and we're not going to know until the trial's over. And honestly, is there stuff out there that says like Thug is mad at him and YSL is mad at him? Like, I got no idea.
I don't think so. I mean, I know Thug's brother.
It can't really come out and say anything anyway.
Yeah, I think, like, even... I remember like Thug's brother said some pretty negative stuff to him. I mean, you can, like, it is like just factual. His plea that he took can't be used against YSL members. I do just want to like say that. So it's like, no, like, that's a fact. Anything he said in that plea cannot be used in the YSL case, like, regardless of what people say. But yeah, I mean, there's like some fire to the smoke, in my opinion.
Think there is something there? Yeah, I mean, there might be.
Supposedly, mm-hmm. And the internet has never lied, of course. apparently, Lil Baby was gonna drop something after Thug, and then, or after Gunna, and then apparently, like, Thug said no. Like, do it on my record, but Baby isn't on the record. I don't know, but we'll get to the weirdness of that album when we get to it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's just something I saw from a person who kind of might know, but who knows? I mean, we're never gonna know. I think the full story, which we're not entitled to either.
Correct.
Yeah. In the first track that he releases after getting, like, after his plea deal and getting released and all that, is Bread and Butter, which is one of my favorite songs on this record. I actually didn't hear it until I listened to this. And there's just, you know, that's one where he addresses everything a lot. Talks about my favorite part is how he's like, the lawyers and the DA did some sneaky shit and I fell for it, which I don't know, bro.
He makes a couple mentions of that on here, like talking about how the government is trying to, and he's talking like about the court system there, probably trying to divide and stuff like that. I mean, there is some of that stuff in there. I don't know. Like, that is there a couple times. I do feel the same way about Bread and Butter. I think for what he was trying to do across the whole album, Bread and Butter probably does it the best of as far as that side. You can really, to me, you can feel the emotion. It feels real and genuine. You can like feel what he's going through there a little bit more so than some of these other moments, I think.
Yeah, we talked about the Gunna album on this show before the last one, Trip Season Forever. And one of the highlights that we talked about was Living Wild. That was one of my favorite songs on there, because that one was another one where Gunna kind of like dug into that more personal stuff and like stopped about the bragging for a second and was just like, yeah, I kind of go through some shit too. Like, he had the funny, not the funny line, but funny to us about the like, I was just trying whippets, like, everyone calm down. So this is a little bit of more different topic, but yeah, it's similar. I can stand Gunna in this mode. I prefer the other stuff, obviously. I feel like most people do, like, a lot of features, like, having fun. Like, he works the best when he's with 21 or Lil Baby or Future and those, Roddy Ricch and, like, that those group of people, and, like, making more club-like records. But when he wants to slow it down and take it to this level, it's more enjoyable than other rappers that try this shit, to me, at least.
Yeah, and I like, this is an interesting one, because he does, like, he at times he gets away from the I'm gonna address everything I want. So, and I think that I don't think you can do that. It's like a 60-40 ish split. You can't do like, let's do what we did before and talk about all the money I'm getting and the cool clothes and the women, and then also get into like, yo, like the whole industry is like turning against me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and that's the compelling part of the story right now. And I think you can lean into that more without, you know, being like opportunistic and corny. Bread and Butter to me is like that example of when he does it, but sometimes it just doesn't go as good. Like IDK No More, I think is the name of the song. That's one where I'm like, like I kind of see where you're going and it's almost there, but like I need a little bit more. I feel like most of the time when he tried to dig, I was just like, I need a little bit more.
He could do it. The song titles on here were very funny, very lazily put together, you know. It all fit like a vibe in a scene, but you know, stuff like Payback, but spelling back like Maybach. T-Angels, Bread and Butter, Turned Your Back, like just closing out on All Right, but just like kind of fed up. What were some of your highlights on here? What were some songs you really fucked with?
We talked about Bread and Butter. Fuck You Mean, I think, is one that a lot of people felt pretty positively about. That's kind of more on the traditional Gunna song road. And I also liked Fuck You Mean as well. Liked the beat a lot, liked what he was doing on it. Go Crazy, I think Go Crazy would probably like round out my top three. If I was just having to pick some of my favorites.
Yeah, all good ones. I mean, there weren't any noticeable misses on here.
Yeah.
Which a lot of this kind of blended together for me. There were some that stuck out. I really like the intro. I like Back At It. Back At It kind of felt like triumphant, which is weird.
Yeah. It sets the scene.
Yeah, it does set the scene. It's kind of like, we're here. I'm going to talk about this shit. We're going to like dig into this. This isn't going to be the normal Gunna that you listen to. That's for sure. What else? Born Rich, very funny song. I'm the same way. My child's going to be born rich, but I'm not going to be making the money like Gunna. Like, she, you know, where the wealthy women at.
Right.
That's another one where he's like bragging a little bit more. Rodeo Drive is one that people really liked. It wasn't one of my favorites. It's probably more like in the middle of the pack for me. But
yeah,
that one stands out a little more because, again, it's more of the bragging stuff. Like, people seem to gravitate to Gunna when it happens. And I'm curious to see how this one ages. Like, is this one people are going to go back to? A year from now, am I going to go back and listen to Back At It or Bread and Butter?
I think like, a lot
I'll
of
probably that, go back to Fuck You Mean, but
right. Yeah. I think a lot of that depends on, you know, what happens with the story. You know, where everything stands a year from now. You know, And even further down the line, do we look back 5 years from, do we look forward 5 years from now and be like, Gunna has made like six more albums, the industry has accepted him back, he's done it, he did a collab album with, he did another collab album with Baby, or is it like we kind of like Gunna fell by the wayside, or is this kind of like the end? I think a lot of that depends on the story. Gunna's an interesting person to look at because I feel like this project has also reignited some of the Gunna versus Lil Baby, like who has the better discography, who's the better artist stuff. And I you know, wherever you stand on that, I think I've always kind of been on the, I think Baby has the best and worst between them, and every Gunna project is usually just like pretty good. But I've never been super blown away from a Gunna project. I am interested. This is probably kind of on the lower rung for me. Yeah, we'll see what happens with time. But
I will always say Baby is the better one because I generally believe that. But if you want to talk album by album, yeah, Gunna might have the upper hand there. Just yeah,
I think like he's what you said. He's just been so consistent, like
very. Yeah,
you know, even as I was someone who was not a huge fan of his style at first. It really took a lot to like draw me into it, and a big part of that was just every time, like he never dropped a dud. Yeah. And I feel like this has a little asterisk on it due to, you know, outside yeah. of
it. I don't know. I think I'm a little more higher. I think I'm higher on this than you are.
Yeah.
But yeah, this isn't anywhere near a dud for me. I'm just curious on where his career goes from here.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't think he'll ever reach the point where no one wants to work with him. Like, there are going to be people that work with him. It's just, is it going to be the same people? Right. Are we going to get the same collaborations? And then on top of that, it's like, is he going to go back to making the happy-go-lucky, like, bragging, like, thought I was playing and P-Power and, you know, all that stuff? Is he going to go back to that? Is he going to go back to pushing P, or is he going to stay in this, like, side of things?
Vindictive, kind of.
Yeah, vindictive, bitter, like, I'm not one to play with type music.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the question with that. So, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens.
You listen next to the Gunna Duck?
I never got around to it. It happened like right in like the middle of my move, and it kind of got lost.
What are your thoughts on Gunna in general? Are you a Gunna guy?
I like Gunna. I don't know. I've never been like a Gunna album guy. I don't know. I've always just kind of gone to like what people say is his best, and I go and listen to that, and I've liked it. But I've always kind of been like a Baby over Gunna guy. So I've like dug in on that despite not listening to a ton of Gunna, but I'm like a big Baby guy though.
Right.
Like I think there's so much like Thug and what he does that like I was just gonna go to that like off rip.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm like the Gunna and Baby tension sucks so much, dude. Like I really fucking hate it. It was so cool seeing them. Like, as much as I do love them, there is just such a magic that happens when they get together.
And when they get Thug on there, too, the three of them.
Right, yeah. So
triple-headed monster.
yeah, it sucks to see that tension. But, let's transition into Thug.
One week later. He kind of... So Thug, interestingly, his last album, Punk, which I have no recollection of. I might have heard it. I might have not. I save no songs on it. I don't listen to it at all. But I did go back and do a lot of Thug before I listened to Business is Business. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about Thug on this show, and we're both really big fans of him. But so dropping this after Punk felt like a business decision related to Gunna more than anything else. What are your thoughts on Businesses Businessly?
I mean, yeah, and again, because so much of this is the fact that we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You know, people were going as far as to call this a response album. I just won't go that far. I just don't really know everything. Obviously, like, Thug is away. He's not home. he's in a case. Like, I mean, just, you know, who, we don't know if and when he'll be coming home. So that, I mean, this happens with artists when they go away. Albums get put together and they get put out. The timing is weird, of course. I mean, you can't ignore it. But I mean, I'm not surprised that we got this.
I mean, the timing isn't just like the timing is not a coincidence. After sure. Gunna dropped, everyone on YSL was posting a QR code for the drop of this.
Yeah. Like hilarious marketing, by the way. Posting a screenshot of a QR. Yo, the funniest thing was people didn't know that they could access it. Like, they're like, what do I do? Like, how do I? But that's definitely not a coincidence.
I thought it's not funny whatsoever. Like, going to jail is very sad and
correct.
A whole other thing that we don't want to like really dig into, but you know, prison abolishment and all that stuff, but just calling Young Thug and just asking him what's up.
Just like
that's just the way Thug talks. Kind of made me laugh. Like, I really hope he's kind of got high spirits and that's not just a show for whatever album they were pushing, but him just, you know, just being like, yeah, just pushing more Peter, more sweeter, more completer.
Man,
I can't imagine talking to a human being like that every day.
Yo, and you know what's fun? I was listening to it and I was like, this is the coolest motherfucker alive, man. Like, this motherfucker is so cool. I can't say that shit. Like, imagine a normal person trying to say that. And I was just like, getting into the music on here. Like, obviously, we talked about it before. I don't think the reception to this one was quite as positive, like, generally. And I hate, like, the main, like, people's first statement is like, oh, it's a throwaway album. It's a hard drive album. No shit. He's in jail. Like, no shit, it's a hard drive album. But, like, we've had hard drive albums forever in hip hop. Like, and I do think there's more to observe. And, like, back to... like the Thug voicemail, I think where this thing shines is just Thug's like personality and star power. It just shines through in spots on here, I will say, not completely. And I think the same thing happened on punk was obviously after so much fun was a big album for Thug. Before then, Thug had, it was really a question of like, can Thug drop like big music? Like, we like Thug in hip-hop, he makes great music, he's super influential. But can he make like crossover big records? With So Much Fun, he did it really. And Punk was like that anointment. You know, Doja Cat was on there, Drake was on there a couple times. It was a Post Malone. It was a big, big album. Even though it's kind of not super in everyone's conscious. So like that personality, I think it's still here. And even though these are kind of just random songs, it's there.
Yeah, I don't think this is a return to form per se, like So Much Fun, where it felt like this gigantic moment and you know he's building on momentum. This felt like a mixtape, which
I agree.
I was okay with. I liked a lot of songs on here. There are some that are forgettable and some I don't remember hearing. I listened to this a lot. I listened to all three of these over the course of like a week, just kind of playing on all of them. Whether it was in order, sometimes in shuffle, sometimes just a song here and there. And there are some songs, like, I can't really put a sound to memory. But a few of these, they really hit. A couple of them felt like they were songs for other people that Thug just kind of took over. If you look at the intro track, like, Parade on Cleveland, the beat switch and everything doesn't make me believe that that was a finished song for the two of them to be doing together.
Right.
Also felt that way with Hellcat Kenny, which I don't know how Uzi ended up
that's
on here.
Yeah, that's the Uzi one, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he felt very out of place. Like, some of these felt weird, while other ones, like Cars Bring Me Out, huge fan of that one. That's a big highlight for me. Yeah. That's the Thug and Future I've been waiting on forever, man. They've been fucking around on each other's albums for a while now. They've been bullshitting, and this felt like a hard drive one that's been sitting, and they were waiting to drop.
Hey, I do got to say this, even though this is, you know, kind of just an assortment of songs, I think the production is pretty, like, cohesive. Nothing sounds super out of place to me. Like, some of the, it's all over the place in a lot of ways. But, like, I play this thing through and I'm like, okay, like, this makes sense as an album. To me, almost even more so than both the other albums, like, which is kind of crazy. But, like, I do feel that way.
Definitely,
like,
more than Uzi. We'll get to the Uzi one. Yeah. But the Uzi one is a roller coaster. That one takes a roller coaster. Yeah, this is a lot more. It makes a little more sense on the songs picked for this.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just clearing out a hard drive. Like, they picked the ones on the hard drive they felt kind of go together.
Right. And Metro, like, did Metro do all these beats? I can't remember.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He EP'd it, though, right? He's the executive producer?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about the Metro. Did you listen to the Metro? I didn't listen to the Metro version, so if you have any thoughts on that.
To me, that just seemed like a stream thing. Because if you're the executive producer, like, why is it not what you wanted originally? I don't know. That just seems like a strange thing to me. I think they added a song or two. I'll get around to it, but I didn't check it out.
Okay. Yeah, what were some highlights on here songs-wise that you really fucked with?
Listen, man. We got to start with OU Went for me. Like, this is one of the best songs I've heard this year, bro. It's so good. The beat is beautiful. It's so damn good to start off. Thug and Drake, a mixed bag to me as far as, like, what they've done collab-wise. There's some good, there's some bad. This is probably my favorite Drake and Thug collab just off the top of my head. Can't think of anything else that touches it. Just amazing. Like, I don't want to take away from Thug and Drake because I just keep talking about the beat, but the beat is fucking amazing. I love the way Thug flows as well. Drake too. Like, it's just so damn good.
Yeah, so when I was listening to this, I was either in the gym, I was doing something. And basically what happened is, like, I'm listening to it and the beat, like, coming in, and I'm like, okay. And then Thug starts flowing and I'm like, all right, this is amazing. And then boom, Drake just comes out the blue for me. Like, I wasn't looking at the track list, so I didn't know Drake was coming in, and I was like, okay, what's it? I gotta go, like, save this one. This was immediate.
We've been talking about it since last year. Drake's on a little feature run. Like, Drake is on a little feature run, bro. OU Went.
But this one, I feel like, wasn't supposed to be Thugs or something. Because, like, why does he mention Dirk?
I don't. Yeah. I heard that. I was like, huh?
Yeah, that might be a verse for someone else. Given to Thug. But, you know, it works out. It works out.
Yeah, very, very glad that we got it here.
And so, credit to FNZ and Metro Boomin for that production.
It's amazing.
I think Metro Boomin just gets the credit on all of these, but, like, it might not actually be his.
We talk Cars Bring Me Out. That beat is another one where I just love the beat.
It's just, like, a hilarious song where he's like, I just don't want to leave the house, but, you know, I drive these fucking sick ass cars. Like, I can't stay at home all day. Like,
and that's back to the part of where it's like a personality, and shout out to my NBA fans, an aura. If someone just has an aura that can just come out on certain songs where they're just saying, like, off the wall shit. Cars Bring Me Out's a perfect example of that, dude. Like, it is so cool. Two guys, like, with experience working together. It is amazing. I love this song so, so much. Like you said, hilarious also. Just fucking hilarious.
Fuck her in the car and tell her at least it counts the house. Like, crazy, bro. Okay. He had a line that had me, like, wince. Doug, he said, pouring weed in her pussy like I'm Bob Marley. And I just kind of, like, grabbed my groin. And I was like, bro, like, why would you? That feels like a yeast infection. Like, why? Then, what's the point?
We'll come back to it when we talk about Uzi. But some of the sexual lines that you dudes are spitting out here, it's really getting out of hand.
Yo, Uzi got a wild one on this one.
Like, he got a crazy one on this one. I was distraught all day because I'd heard the song like two or three times. I don't know. It kind of went in one ear and out the other. And then today, when I was listening to it again, I was like, "What the fuck is this, bro?" Yeah, Hellcat Kenny really liked the beat on that one. That's the one with Uzi.
And I was like, because we never really brought up this aspect of it, because it's not really there as heavy as it is on Gunna, but Went Through It is another song that I like. And even though it was obviously recorded before, it kind of shows that, like, I'm going through stuff, like, element of it, too. Obviously, I don't know when it was made, so I don't exactly know what the subject matter is. But just another one that I've, like, really enjoyed, too. Like, you can kind of feel the emotion on it. He's kind of, like, the way he's straining his voice, you can feel it a little more. So I wanted to shout that one out, too.
He's still, on that one, he's still talking about how he wore the dress.
Yeah, like I love that line. I saved the world in the dress, like, just super cool, man.
Yeah, I feel like he's still getting shit for that. I don't know. Sexuality has been up in the air for a while. Not that it's our business, but like, yeah, some identity crisis stuff when it comes with that.
Yeah,
Gucci grocery bag was another, like, I can't tell if I like this song or not, honestly. Feels like a little lazy, but it also feels like, I don't know. There's an album we don't talk about enough, and that's the Superfly album that Future did for the movie. Yeah.
Yep.
And there is shit on there with him and Thug that I go back to a lot. And yeah, Gucci grocery bag kind of sounded like something that might have been meant for that to me. Mm. But yeah, I can't tell if I like it. I'm gonna change her name to Williams like she Wendy.
Yeah, I mean, it's super simplistic, like, lyrically, but he just catches a pocket in the beat that I think is super infectious. That I like too. I like it in the context of the album. I don't think I'll like go back to it, but it's definitely one where when it's playing through, I'm like, oh man, I really enjoy this and I like it. So
yeah, I like the second 21 feature more than the first one. The Want Me Dead.
I agree.
Very funny line he opens up with, which is like, the, like, they all try to act gangster, so when they die, I don't ever care. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah. All right, 21. That's cool. But he's in his bag, and this one kind of takes over the song. I don't even remember, like, the beginning 21 verse. Whenever I listen to Want Me Dead, I'm always waiting for, or the beginning Thug verse, I'm always waiting for 21 on it.
Man, speaking of features, and it's sad I gotta do this, because I ride for this gentleman. What is Travis Scott doing, man? Like, what the fuck is Travis doing, bro?
I think I'm on the record on here. Travis Scott features suck.
Yeah, yeah. No, you've said it. Yeah,
he's a good artist. He's a good artist. Travis Scott features suck. And low-key Weekend features do too, but we don't got to talk about that. We're talking about Travis Scott right now. If Travis Scott, the thing that drives me insane about a Travis Scott feature is he can never just, like, coincide with the song. He has to take it over and make it a Travis Scott song, and sometimes it just doesn't need that. And, yeah. That's a skill issue, as they call it.
And I think that definitely happened on the first one that he was featured on. The second one, I think he actually did kind of just try to just, like, blend in. And there's an art to being good on a feature where, like you said, you match the energy of the song. But also, you know, I'm listening to an album with this other guy. Like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to, like, do something. I'm going to make a mark and stand out. But coexists with it. Travis Scott just, like, falls into the song. Like, you just barely know, realize that he's there on Aberdeen.
Yeah.
But yeah, two more features I didn't enjoy from Travis here. I'm a little nervous about his next project. Like, I like the stuff he did last year. Down in Atlanta was the song that I really loved. Cash In, Cash Out was him as well, I think. Or so, there was some other single that he dropped that I liked. But yeah, I'm getting a little nervous about this next Travis record, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I was nervous for Astroworld too, but it worked out. So we'll see. I do want to point out, there's some bozo on Twitter. I honestly don't know who said it or what it was, but I did see someone that was like, do 21 and Travis Scott have to be on every album?
Don't put 21 in that. We don't need to put 21 in that grouping right there. Let 21 be on every album.
Yeah.
Hellcat Kenny, another one. That's with the crazy Uzi line where he talking all sorts of. He said, "My bitch is a freak." He begged me to come pissing her crack. I looked at her crazy. I never did that. This is my first time doing that, and I did it. So, like, not only did he tell us the insane request, he tells us that he did it, which is just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Freak of the week, Lil Uzi Vert.
That young woman, whoever that was. Is she the freak of the fucking year? Yeah, the annotation on Genius, by the way, is just, what? With a bunch of question marks.
Oh my god. But I guess just to like kind of summarize here, like what does this mean? Does this mean anything for Thug? Like, we don't know if like what does this mean, you know? As an album. Matter. Is any of this gonna be around by the time August?
I think there are gonna be some songs it's definitely gonna be the album that like 2 years from now, people would be like, there was some shit on Business is Business. Like, I went back and I listened to this and this, and yeah, you know, for the most part, yeah, I don't think it's going to matter in his whole career arc, and I don't think people are going to bring it up too often. It's kind of be forgotten about a bit. Yeah. I do want to touch before we move on Jonesboro, though. That one is another one where he kind of just like buckles down and kind of wants to talk about where he's from and like where he grew up and wants to talk about his personal life and, you know, kind of slow things down for him. I think it works the best on, he does it a few times on here. You mentioned went through it. I think Jonesboro is the one that it worked the best for, but still would prefer we get more Cars Bring Me Out and Money on the Dresser and those kind of records.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not something that he has a ton of practice with throughout his career, you know, and it's something that would have been interesting to see as he ages. So it'd be, if we get that chance to see it, it'd be interesting. But
yeah,
listen, man, if people are, like we said, people aren't super big on this album, don't throw away "Oh You Went," man. I want to hear "Oh You Went" outside a couple times this summer. That's my main takeaway.
Never let it die. I'll let you know that. That one's gonna be on the top of my 2023 like most played for sure.
Yeah. All right.
You listen to Business is Business, Stuck?
I did. My main takeaway for that was that Metro was the star of that album. Because, like, I think when you listen to it, you could kind of tell, like, there was, like, limited material to an extent. Like, I'm sure it has thousands of verses that you could use. But, like, it almost, if you believe the theory that it was just a response to Gunna, which apparently was supposed to drop on the same day, that, like, it was put together kind of quickly. And that Metro EP'd it so well that it did sound cohesive for the most part, which is really impressive, even if you want to call it a hard drive album. To put it together that well is like legitimately like a really good job by him.
Yeah, what's what was your like favorite on here, or a few favorites?
Oh, You Went. And I like Gucci Grocery Bag. It reminds me of Jeffrey, where it's just not serious. Like, just, you just get a beat, get some bars, and have some fun.
Gotcha. All right. We're going to move on to the big one. This fucking 26-track Goliath of.
According to projections, what will be the first number one debut hip-hop album of 2023? There was some rumblings that Young Thug might have done it, might have been able to do it. He didn't do it. Gunna couldn't do it. Uzi is apparently the one who has dethroned Morgan Wallen. So, big salute for that. but yeah, man, let's get into the pink tape. Duck, you're gonna have to be a little more active here. We're a little bit out of our wheelhouse talking.
My Uzi over Cardi agenda has taken a hit in the past week.
You know, I think a lot of people have had that agenda in the past. And it did take a hit if that was an agenda you had.
It's rough. I mean, there are parts of it that I love, man. And then, like, he has this one line where, like, it's not even, like, I mean, like, it's freaky, but it's just, like, so, like, explicitly direct. Like, he said, it involves the phrase, dog shit. And I was and Travis Scott raps about hitting the gritty on one track.
He did. He did do that. I was like,
the MAGA bars from Nicki.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, let's just get that out of the way, man. Cause that, like, I've heard a lot of talk about that. Oh, Young, you should mute it. But I'll take it away. Don't worry. Nicki Minaj and Uzi, I think, have like a, they must have some kind of good working relationship. I feel like they've collaborated before. Nicki always speaks of Uzi pretty positively. This was just not something that needed to happen. Endless Fashion, this song is really damn good. And I'm like, I respect Nicki Minaj. Like, she's someone who is like important to like the story of hip hop, like post, you know, 2000 and the 2010s. One of the only women who was really out here successful on a mainstream level. I get that. She has a great legacy. She can rap. She's a great rapper. This just was not necessary, man. Like, this did not need to be here. No. This song without Nicki is one of the better songs that I've heard this year.
And it's the first line on the song.
Yeah.
Or on the verse. I don't know if she, I forget if she's first or not. It's the first thing you hear when she starts rapping, though.
Crazy. Youngest your mic's still disconnected. Yeah, that's the barbs. The barbs. The barbs came in his resonance.
Oh.
Ugh.
Like, there are a couple tracks on here which I don't like. Uzi's kind of been doing like the rock star thing for a while, so I'm not gonna say that he was trying to make a whole lot of red kind of thing. But like, there were a couple tracks here where it sounded like he was trying to make a whole lot of red.
And like, so the whole like rage subgenre, I will admit I'm not super tapped into it. Like, I know YoungBoy's been fucking around with it. Obviously Cardi is a name attached to it. Uzi, I feel like, wasn't attached to it before just because he hadn't had music out. But you look at some of the stuff he was doing early in his career and it aligns with where he was.
Yeah.
But he kind of cranked it up a little bit. And I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it. It's a genre that I want to get more into. I think Youngest is back.
Am I back?
Okay. Yeah, you're back.
I'm back. All right. You know, this wouldn't be our show without, you know, me talking. All right. For one thing, I want to get out the way. Yeah, that Nicki Minaj verse fucking sucks. It's no two ways around it. She's not someone I can say I'm like a huge fan of, and I understand that, but she's never offended me or my ears. Besides this time. No, like, it, yeah, actively, like, bad. Like, I can't believe she did that shit.
And they're interpolating the melody from, I'm forgetting the name of this song.
It's I'm Blue.
Yeah. And I heard the intro and I was like, no, please don't.
Yeah.
And yo, and
he does that a lot on this album, by the way.
Yeah, there's like, a lot, there's some covers and one, and I will say, I don't even want to like do the like pitting women against each other thing, but there are like a lot of women doing really cool stuff in hip hop right now. And like some women who I think like could have used that moment in a better way than Nicki did.
I mean, a lot of people, men and women, like,
Youngest and I could have thrown a 16 on that shit. Yeah, fuck me.
Like, I don't fucking know what the hell was going on there. It's just,
I'm very upset.
Yeah. With the Nicki Minaj thing, like you said, not to pit women against each other, but a lot of people tend to use that as a like acid reflex whenever you criticize her. And buddy,
yeah.
There's just a lot of people making dope shit right now, regardless of gender and age and all this stuff. We do not need to go up for this Nicki Minaj verse. I promise you. Like, it's a dud. It's fine.
Yo, and really, I want to kind of go back and like set the stage a little bit for this. Like, Uzi's coming off Eternal Take, which was a really, really big album. Did the collab thing with Future. Had Just Wanna Rock, which was like one of the bigger singles like in recent memory in hip hop. Like, what were y'all expecting?
I wasn't expecting an album in the first place, to be honest with you. So that caught me by surprise. I don't know, maybe I've just been out of the loop and I didn't really know it was coming, but kind of heard of it like the week of. Was just like, okay, so Uzi's going to drop, and then saw it was 26 songs, and I Just Want to Rock kind of felt a little different than what he's done in the past, so I wasn't positive on like what to expect, but Uzi, I have a complicated relationship with Uzi because I feel like my initial reaction to a lot of his stuff is always lukewarm, with the exception of a few songs that really stand out to me. And as time goes on, I kind of warm up to a lot of other stuff. And I had the same reaction to this. Like, this is probably my least favorite of the three we've talked about today. And if you ask me 2 months, 3 months from now, it might be my favorite. I did think there were some people that were a little too hard on it as I was listening to it. I was like, this sounds like the Uzi that we know for a lot of it. There is some bullshit on here. I'm not going to hold back on some of it, but yeah. There's a lot of good stuff.
I think it's just because, you know, I mean, the obvious critique, it's too many songs. Like, we say it all the time, people say it all the time, like, you can't have an album that's this long and this many songs. Like, no songs are gonna, and what Uzi does do good, if you're gonna put this many songs on an album, you're gonna need to, like, change it up a little bit, do a couple of different things. He does that. I don't know if he does anything like amazing on here, but he does do that, which is good. But when there's this many songs, it's just hard for stuff to like clearly identify itself, especially to a large group of people listening to it.
And so we know that's why there's this many songs.
Yeah.
It's the first rap album in 2023 that's going to be number one. And it's because it's 26 songs long, and it's because it has Just Wanna Rock on there.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, I would agree with you. I think people were going a little too hard on this, but it's easy for that to happen when there's like 26 songs, and outside of Don't Want to Rock, there's not a song where everyone's like, hey, this song is really good. I didn't really see that with this album.
I think people are really into Suicide Doors. I think that's one.
And well, I will not, what's the one, Nakamura? I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, Nakamura.
A lot of people like that song. I like it. It's fine. You know, it's all right.
I think my favorite on here might be Pluto to Mars. I don't know. It might be hard for like you guys to know exactly which one I'm talking about because you're gonna name some shit. I'm gonna forget what the song is.
It's a shame. Future isn't on that. Just with the name.
Pluto to Mars. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little.
I'm gonna withstand from the Future and Uzi talk, but yeah, Pluto to Mars.
It's more traditional Uzi. I think it's a sound that he's done before, he's done well, and it shows that you can kind of just stick to your guns and make some really good songs. I mean, I like Pluto to Mars as well. I think my clear-cut favorite song outside of Don't Want to Rock, or Just Want to Rock, is fucking, what's the name? Died and Came Back, which is like right, it's kind of in the early middle section of the album. I think it's a song that hits kind of like those rage, like that rage stuff that he was getting at, but it's still like for the people who want to hear Pluto to Mars, I think you can still like Died and Came Back. I think it's just, it hits everything so, so good. So that's gotta be my clear cut favorite.
I'm a big fan of Times 2, Before It too. That one's a really good one. We talked about Suicide Doors. I have a funny story about Zoom. The first time I heard Zoom, I was in the gym and I had it in my ears, and 6 Foot, 7 Foot was playing at the gym, and it kind of like seeped into because my headphones weren't loud enough. So I thought Uzi was rapping over 6 Foot, 7 Foot, and I was like, this kind of going.
Yeah, listen. All right. Chop suey. Let's. What the fuck, dude?
So, Lee, what's your relationship to Chop Suey? Is this a song that you've listened to before? Or
I knew Chop Suey, like, just, I don't even really know why I know this Chop Suey.
It's a big song.
I know, like, it's obviously a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but I knew Chop Suey. And I saw the CS, obviously didn't think anything of it. And I hear the song, like, this kind of sounds familiar. I don't like this though. That was my instant reaction. And I just don't know, man. Like, he's in that mode a couple times, interpolating, pretty much just doing covers. There's a lot of that on here. I don't know. I don't think he really hit the mark with any of it outside of the song that shouldn't have Nicki on it.
Yeah. I think The End did what he was, like, the style he was trying to go with Chop Suey. I think The End worked a little better. But even that, I don't know. It might just be me and Lee talking out of our comfort zone when it comes to this kind of music, so it didn't really hit the same. But yeah, Chop Suey is definitely one I was listening to, and I was like, this sounds kind of familiar. I was like, what song is this? It took me a second, and then the Wake Up started, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I saw the CS, I was like, ah, all right, this is all coming together now.
Doug, I gotta ask Doug real quick. You said this album, what was the main thing that let you down here? Like, as a Uzi truther, as someone who's a fan of his, who really, like, sees the vision on him, like, what really, like, let you down here? And maybe, like, as a side note, what did you like? You know, what did you really enjoy?
So, what, like, let me down, honestly, was, like, the features, because, like, even as an Uzi fan, I feel like you have to be a realist about the fact that if you're getting 26 tracks from Uzi, you're gonna have some throwaways, and you're gonna have some duds. Like, it is what it is. I think the song with Travis Scott suffers from the same thing that a lot of Travis Scott songs they suffer from, which is where the artist will get on there and try to make a Travis Scott song and then throw him on. And it just doesn't really go well. And then he raps about doing the gritty, and I skipped it after that line. So I have not heard the whole song. I'm not going to hear the whole song. It's okay. But what I like about it, I think Uzi is better at taking risks than other guys that are kind of in his, like, I don't want to say class, but, like, in his, like, category of rappers. Like, he's definitely more open about that. He doesn't always hit. It almost, I don't want to say almost never hits, but it's not exactly common that it hits. But I think he is kind of like you were talking about with that rage sound. He's kind of on the forefront of a lot of these things as they happen. And that doesn't happen if he's not trying things and failing a lot of the time. I mean, I get why they put Just Wanna Rock on the album, but it is, like, very clearly just thrown into the middle of the track list.
I think it works well with Nakamura. Yeah. I think those two go together. And I like Fire Alarm too. Like, that three strong stretch right there works for me.
And the song with Don Toliver was uploaded incorrectly at midnight. Did y'all hear about that?
No.
So what happened was there was a Uzi Cardi song that was supposed to be on here, and I think Cardi didn't clear it at, like, the last minute. Because I think it sounds like an old verse, because he's doing, like, the baby voice like he was doing on Meh in 2020. And I think, I don't know why he cut it. It was, like, last minute, because they uploaded it with the title of the Don Toliver song, but it was the Uzi Cardi song. It was a interesting mess. It was a mess.
We need labels back.
And also, they've reconciled, right?
I think as far as I know, they showed up at Rolling Loud together.
But, I mean, as I
and Oliver were beefing.
No, Cardi, Playboi Carti, and Uzi.
And Uzi. Yeah. So I had mic troubles earlier. I'm still on the Uzi over Cardi train. This didn't affect me. Yeah, this definitely just shook his head crazy.
I don't know. Like,
I think Die Lit's the best album between the three of them, or between the two of them. But I'm still Uzi over Cardi.
I'll take Uzi at his best over Cardi. But I don't know. Like, I think Cardi, at least, I don't know. It's hard to tell with Cardi too, because albums come and go. Like, they'll be about to come out and then they don't come out, and then, like, you never know what he's about to do, which is very annoying. Which I guess Uzi has done the same thing with this tape, because this was supposed to come out in, what, 2020? 2021?
Yeah, like 21. Yeah. Something like that.
So, I don't know. I'll have my mind fully made up when Cardi drops his next album in 2027.
Yeah, Cardi has been more scarce than Uzi, I'll say that, but man, between the self-titled and Die Lit alone, even if you're not a whole lot of Red person, which I am personally, even if you're not, like, self-titled and Die Lit is is something serious. But I mean, listen, I love
both. We don't have to litigate this now.
No.
This might be an episode within itself.
Yeah. We don't have to get into that. But yeah, man. And I mean, like, is this a success for Uzi? Like, it's gonna be the number one album. I don't know if there's gonna be another song that pops from it, but it's gonna be a big album. Like, is this a success for Uzi? Do y'all think?
I think so.
Yeah. Like I said, this stuff kind of take a little bit of time with me personally. I'm gonna need to sit on it for a little longer to see if it's a success for me. But yeah, I mean, it's selling. People seem to enjoy it. People are listening to it a lot. It's gonna be a success.
It's just so weird for me. Like, part of this is just where music is now, where everybody just has such like a fragmented experience. There just aren't that many unifiers. But I just remember where Uzi was, like around Love Is Rage 2, Eternal Take. Like, there were not like 3 to 5 bigger hip hop artists than Lil Uzi at like a certain time. I just don't know like how true that is anymore. It almost seems like there's a little bit of a decline in that regard. But I mean, Uzi's still a big artist. This thing is gonna sell like crazy. I hope I don't have to wait another. I know that this album is long as hell, but I don't want to wait as long as I had to wait for this, for the next one. Just don't make it 25 songs, please.
I think Uzi is available.
I would say I'd wait for I'd be cool with an EP next year. If he wants to give like 8 songs. He won't do that though. It's not beneficial for him.
He did do it last year.
That is true.
Did he?
That is true.
Yeah, he did he did Red and White, which was some
that
was kind of setting the tone for Pink Album, and then it was some like stuff that had leaked and that fans like they wanted, so he put that out.
What do you think Lil Uzi thinks of Only Built for Cuban Links? You think he's a fan?
I feel like Uzi respects real hip hop. I will say that. Despite him like shitting on old hip hop beats on Ebro's show way back in the day, I think he respects real hip hop. So yeah, get Raekwon, man. Y'all get in the studio, cook some shit up. You know what I'm saying?
Also, to correct Lee, the crazy person at the beginning of Suicide Doors is not Uzi, actually.
Oh, for real?
It sounds just like him, though. That's why I kind of like don't believe this. It's apparently some dude named Charleston White.
Oh, okay, I know who Charleston White. Damn, that's crazy. I fucked that up.
No, you didn't, because I thought it was Boosie until right now. Like, I definitely thought that was... It might still be Boosie. This might be misinformation.
Hold on. Okay, that is Charleston White. I wonder if ever... Okay, now I feel like a fucking idiot. Because now that I hear it, I like obviously know it is. Charleston White, he's another YouTube guy. Like, he's in that DJ Vlad category of YouTube. If you don't know who he is, you're a better person for it. But, damn, that's funny, because I definitely thought that was Boosie. Because him and... Boosie and Uzi had tension at a time, I think. I don't think I'm making that up. But, that is a very funny aside here. But maybe a top three from everybody to get out of here. Maybe exclude Just Wanna Rock or include it either way.
We can do without Just Wanna Rock. I'll probably do Suicide Doors. Pluto to Mars for sure. And you know what? I'm going to throw him a bone here because he tried it. You know, I'm going to go with the end, with Baby Metal.
I like the end. I think the end is good. I'll go, like I said, Died and Came Back. Huge fan of that one. Like, obviously, Endless Fashion sans Nicki Minaj is on this list. But Nicki Minaj is here. So I'll say, like, I'll list 3.5. And that'll be my half of Endless Fashion. So Died and Came Back, half of Endless Fashion, Suicide Doors as well, and I'll join you on Pluto to Mars. Like, I'm a big fan of that track as well. Just like sticking with what he's good at. Sometimes we don't need guys to get super experimental. You can just do what you're good at historically. I think that's an example of that.
I'd probably go Suicide Doors, Died and Came Back, and then this one, I didn't like it the first time I listened to it all that much, but I think when we see him do it at, like, a festival, Amped is gonna go insane live.
I don't remember Amped, but I'm gonna take your word for
it. There's like four different lines the whole song. Like, it's the same thing over and over. But it's gonna go.
Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's gonna go crazy when he does it.
What's
live.
The name of the song? Amped? That's why I don't.
I do like it.
I didn't like it at first because I kept expecting it to like go somewhere. But I think when we hear it live, it's gonna like really be like, what was the
song?
Put
the shit down.
Yeah, like Stop Breathing for Cardi. Like that's his an intro for his tour now. I think it's going to be kind of like that for him.
Yo, they're really like
building the Boosie Uzi thing. They actually took this picture not too long ago. So the two of them together. So that was not Boosie.
I had a meeting of the minds. I will say, I'm glad that you brought that up, though. Like, who is, like, are the younger kids, are they, like, listening to this shit? Like, Uzi is kind of like our kind of.
I know the kids are listening to Cardi, kind of. I don't know. Like, the thing is, like, I saw the XXL list. I know, like, five of those people, and I've listened to, like, three. Like, I don't know if the list has just, like, kind of, like, lost what it was since 2016.
It's a mix of both.
Yeah, because in 2016, we did have the benefit of SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Like, we knew about all of these guys before they hit that list.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing with the XXL list, and the thing people have complained about, I'm going to be quick about this. They have to, like, submit music, and they have to like, do, like, pageantry for XXL to get selected.
Yeah, it's like an interview. It's a whole process.
Yeah, so before, the list meant more when people were signed to labels because the label wanted them on that list, so they worked together. And as artists became more independent and XXL like offered stuff, there are a bunch of rappers that have like tweeted out and like come out with shit. They're like, they want me to play shit that hasn't been released yet, and I'd rather give it to the fans than them and all this stuff. And like they, people have stopped working with XXL to get on that list. Obviously there are still people that respect it and still go through the process and do that kind of thing. So the list isn't what it used to be. But at the same time, like, we are also, the three of us, getting a little older. We don't know these people as much as we used. Like, I don't even know who was snubbed. Like, I looked at the list. I knew Real Boston Richie, and that might have been it.
Central C.
In Central C.
That's another
thing. Glorilla.
Because, like, you can blow up so
fast. Oh, Glorilla's on there? Yeah, okay.
Like, you can blow up so fast now that, like, I feel like Central C, like, isn't really a freshman. But he's probably only been around for a year, so, like, I guess he would be, but... Like, everything moves so fast now, it's hard to judge who is a freshman and who isn't anymore.
Yeah, I'm happy Central C took that, because I feel like artists in his caliber prior just would not do it. And, like, I will, like I said, this isn't going to become a XXL list episode. I actually really like what they've been doing the past couple of years. I think this list was, like, really good this year. I think last year's was also really exceptional. I think they've kind of given in to the fact that XXL is this legacy publication, and it doesn't mean exactly what it used to, but they can still just do quality work. And I think that's what they've been doing the past couple of years. I like this list as well. But yeah, like, I don't know, like, who's listening to, like, this Uzi album is obviously big, but, like, I don't know who, like, cause you brought up Amped, and I'm like, if I was, like, I wouldn't go to an Uzi show to do Amped. I'd get fucking stepped on. I'd get stomped on. I'd get killed.
Like, I do wonder if it's, like, for, like, the festival circuit almost.
Yeah,
because, like, those are, like, the big performances festival that you see is, like, Travis Scott at ACL 2018, I want to say. Kid C Ghost at Flogna, Cardi at Lollapalooza. Like, I think when...
Both,
I think if you
both
show...
Cardi and Uzi were at Lyrical Lemonade.
Oh.
Which I was at, and, yeah. Let me tell you, the kids are out there. I'm too old for that shit. Bro, I literally went for free. I went to Lyrical Lemonade Festival for free. I had a 3-day pass, and I only went one day because I knew 3 days would kill me. And the one day I went killed me. Like, yeah, dude, I'm not built for that stuff.
I went to a normal show. This was 2016. I'm old. But I counted the over 21 wristbands that I saw, and I counted 5. The entire
for what?
Night.
Was he or
2016 Brockhampton.
Oh, Brockhampton.
And
yeah.
I was like, I had never felt so washed. And this kid like passed out in front of us. Like a Brockhampton show. I was like, come on now.
No. I felt ancient. Well,
I'm going for like balcony seats from here on out. I'm not getting into a fight with a teenager.
Like, literally next year, if I get free tickets to that Lyrical Lemonade thing, I'm not going. Like, I'm a different one. Like, I can't.
Can't do it.
I couldn't handle it. It was not for me anymore. Which is fine. I don't gotta say, like, kill it for other people. If it's your thing and you can handle it, go crazy.
Yeah, they're younger, more nimble folks than us out there. I'm jealous of them, to be honest.
Very. They were, like, running to stages, and I'm watching them run, and I'm like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I'm in shape, to be clear. Like, right. I can run. I'm just like, how do you have the, like, inspiration and, like, desire to run to a stage? I can't run full speed to a stage because I don't care enough.
But, that was, like, when they had Miley Cyrus on after Cardi at Lollapalooza. And those fans got trapped in the crowd with the Cardi fans. It's a different kind of crowd.
One more thing on this Uzi, and just like obviously your opinion might change, but I'll ask both of y'all. Gut reaction, is this better than Eternal to Take, yes or no?
No.
It's better than the original version of Eternal to Take. I liked the deluxe because the deluxe had a lot of stuff that I had been like I had heard and I was waiting to come out. But also, just the original. No, it's not.
Original
no, it's
prices.
Not. It's not.
Original right. Got prices. It got.
Yeah. I'll join y'all on the three of this. A slight.
Oh, I need to go back to EA because I'm thinking about the tracks now.
EA has
my favorite major Uzi release.
Interesting. EA has some shit.
Like, not the tapes. Not the tapes. The tapes that are like the 8 and stuff, like, he got a lot, but. The full length albums, the ones where he was dropping like the 20,
like Love Is Rage 2 and
2, yeah, Eternal to Take. I do. I really like Eternal to Take.
I respect. It's good. I respect your opinion.
You don't, but it's fine.
No, I do. They're both really good albums. I have a lot of like, what's that word? I'm blanking on it. I
like personal attachment.
Yeah, to Love Is Rage 2.
I feel you. All right, man. We just wanted
what
to kind of. I think if we should probably talk like on a future episode, we should probably get like to a mid-year thing at some point. Talk about some of our favorite stuff that we've heard so far. It's 4th of July weekend, so I've been getting like I got some friends around. I've been running the aux a little bit, so I put like a little playlist together. Funny enough, a lot of Katrimine on there. Sounds really good. You know, with the friends around, backyard, chilling, drinking, cooking. Been playing these three, obviously, to prepare. Shout out to Amore, man. That Amore album, I'm really, like, running into the ground. Amore, Key Glock as well. Shout out to Key Glock. That's, like, really becoming one of my favorite records from this year.
Glaucoma 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
thought he dropped some other shit that I just missed.
Yeah, one more. Portugal the Man. Portugal the Man put out an album last week, I think, that is fucking amazing. So check out that Portugal the Man record. It's not that long, too, so check it out. That's what I got on tap.
Yeah. I surprisingly dove back into Lil Boat 3 by Lil Yachty for whatever reason, so I've been spinning that. But for the most part, just the three that we talked about today. For prep and just, you know, those are three artists I really like, so don't mind listening to their music a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for fucking with us, as always. Rate, review, give us 5 stars.
Rate it. Tell your friends. We'll see y'all next time.
I can't move on, baby doll. Wait, no calls, flipping through stations. I'm outclassed, it's outrageous. I'll take it all, baby doll. Whatever's been weighing you down. Find me on Miami concrete, looking for somebody different, cause my daddy was a pimp. My mama had issues, but I miss her anyway.